Good morning. Once again, welcome to Rabbi Sacks' Sunday morning shiur. Just in terms of scheduling, once again, Rabbi Sacks will be here next week, Yirin Sashem. This morning, Rabbi Sacks' topic is in Yonai Purim, and that will continue next week. This morning's shiur is being sponsored by the Rosenbaum, Scharf, and Center families in memory of their father, Aaron Dov Ben Reb David, Aaron Rosenbaum, Sal, Rechavid Gadol, Rav Sacks.
I wanted to begin with the topic of Zechiras Amalek and then continue with various themes of Purim. There is a very important sifra found in Parshas Bechukosai that defines the term Zachar, remembrance. When it comes, for example, to the mitzvah of Kiddush, the sifra tells us that we are told in Aseres Adibros, Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Literally, we're obligated to remember Shabbos. And the sifra comments that Yachol B'Libcha, maybe Zachar simply means to remember, be aware that now it is Shabbos. The Midrash continues and says that cannot be the case. After all, the Torah tells us, Shomer Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Of course we're obligated to know that it's Shabbos. How else would a person be able to fulfill all the many aspects of Shabbos? To refrain from halacha, Hare Shmira Saleh Vamura. So therefore, Hama'ani Mekayim Zachar, what is meant by Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, Shitehe Shona Beficha, that this Zechira must be expressed. And therefore, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechira Shabbos, it's not merely enough to be aware that it's Shabbos, but you have to mark that remembrance in a concrete fashion. And this is what the Gemara assumes in Brachos and Daf Chav, in Shavuos and Daf Chav, that on this basis there is, in fact, a mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos, this morning's Daf Yomi, based on the pasuk of Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. The Sifra continues and tells us that this is also true when it comes to Zechira Samalek. Zachar Esa Shera Salach Amalek Yachol B'Libcha. Maybe it simply means that be aware how Amalek attacked us when we were leaving Mitzrayim. That cannot be, because after all the Torah tells us Lo Sishkach. After all, we're already obligated never to forget. Hama'ani Mekayim Zachar Shiteishona Beficha, that this Zechira somehow must take on added expression. And therefore the Sifra tells us that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, it's not sufficient to be aware, but one must mark that remembrance, Shetehe Shona Beficha. How in fact this is done are several views in the Rishonim. If you look, for example, in the Rambam, Hilchos Malachim, Perakei Halachahei, the Rambam writes that mitzvah Sasei Lizkor Tamid, we're constantly obligated to remember what Amalek did as we left Mitzrayim. One chiddush of the Rambam, how often is this mitzvah to be fulfilled? Lizkor tamid. And how is it that one does so? The Rambam writes, Mipi hashmuel amdu, that zachar bipeh, lo sishkach, is belev. Lo sishkach means a person's mindset, that you cannot forget. But zachar means a person is obligated to mark that remembrance, bipeh. So some type of verbal acknowledgement is necessary. That's what the Rambam writes regarding the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. The Rambam doesn't link at all the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek with the Kriya of Parsha Zachar. The Rambam mentions the Kriya of Parsha Zachar. That certainly is true, but the Rambam does so in Perek Yud Gimel of Hilchos Tefillah. When the Rambam enumerates, delineates all the various special Kriyos throughout the year, the Rambam mentions that there are four Parshios that are read at this time of year. One of them is Parsha Zachar in Yonei Diyoma of Purim, but this is not the vehicle to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. After all, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek is Lizkor Tamid. It is not a yearly obligation, but rather it is an ongoing imperative, and the Rambam writes this must be fulfilled bepeh. One cannot fulfill this mitzvah belev. So you leave this Rambam, you get the impression as follows. Well, there is a constant obligation to verbally acknowledge. How often is this fulfilled? And how is it that we fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek according to this view of the Rambam? It's not so unusual that the Torah will give us a mitzvah without telling us how often is it that this mitzvah must be performed. And in all these questions, then the obvious issue surfaces, how often is it that I am to fulfill this particular mitzvah? For example, the Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah in HaTorah of Tefillah. The Rambam, in the very beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, in Mitzvah Hei, V'avadtem es Hashem Elokeichem, u'le'avdo b'chol avavchem, avodah shebelev zu Tefillah, a mitzvah min HaTorah tedaven. How often does one have to engage in Tefillah? The Torah doesn't tell us. V'avadtem es Hashem Elokeichem, u'le'avdo b'chol avavchem. The Torah doesn't tell us the frequency. How is it that one fulfills this mitzvah? But the Rambam writes, the very beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, mitzvah sa'seid lihispalel, b'chol yom. A person is obligated to daven each and every day. The Rambam shita, shachris, minchin, marav, is drabanon. But one tefillah each and every day, that is a mitzvah, min ha-Torah. The Kesev Mishnah points out as well, in Perakei of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, when it comes to the mitzvah of tefillin. The Torah tells us we're obligated to don tefillin. But how often is one obligated to do so? We know that Shabbos Nyanta if we don't put on tefillin. A machlokes Tanoim, machlokes Rishonim, how to assume the halacha, whether the fact that we don't put on tefillin at night, is that a mitzvah daraisa, din derabanan? The Rambam writes, min ha-Torah, laila is lavzman tefillin. Most Rishonim assume that's only a din derabanan. But barring laila, barring Shabbos Yantif, how often is one obligated to put on tefillin? So the Kesev Mishnah writes the following. The Torah tells us you're obligated to wear tefillin. The Torah doesn't tell us how often to do so. Minimally, once a day, each and every day. Maximally, one can wear tefillin the entire day. But minimally, must see to it that you wear the tefillin for some period of time each and every day. So when it comes to davening, or when it comes to tefillin, and there are many other examples as well, it would appear if the Torah gives us an ongoing mitzvah, and the Torah does not tell us exactly how often that is to be performed, it means minimally once a day, each and every day. This is what it seems in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Chav Ches when it comes to Birchas Kohanim, for example. This is what the Stipler writes in Brachos in Simin Chafei. If this is true now when it comes to Zechiras Amalek, the Rambam writes, Lizkor Tamid. It's an ongoing obligation, but that must be fulfilled bepeh, the Rambam writes. How often is this done? One could argue, according to the Rambam, it means a daily obligation, a daily reminder is necessary in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, and perhaps all instances where the Torah uses the term Zachar. As you know, many have the practice after davening each day of reciting the Sheis Zechiros, verbally acknowledging all the six places where the Torah tells us one is obligated to remember these particular things. If you look in the Magen Avram, Hilchos Kriyas Shema Siman Samach, Magen Avram writes the following Chiddush, that if you look carefully, but you have to look very carefully, in Kriyas Shema and in Birchas Kriyas Shema, you will find an allusion to all the places that the Torah uses the term of Zachar. That's what the Magen Avram writes. For example, when it comes to Zechiras Amalek, we know in Parshas B'Shalach what we learn Purim morning, Ki Yad Al Kes Ka, Milchama Hashem B'Amalek Midor Dor. What does it mean, Ki Yad Al Kes Ka? It describes Kaviyachol, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as being Kes instead of Kisei. It describes the Shem Hashem as being Yud Kei instead of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Rashi quotes the Drashas Chazal that Ein Kiso Shalem, Ein Shemo Shalem, Ad Shema Chazar Shalom Alek. Until we annihilate Amalek, Kaviyachol, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem Hashem is incomplete. On this basis, the Magen Avram quotes the name of the Medrash when we recite V'kerav Tanu L'Shimcha HaGadol. We're mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring us close to His great name. That is a reference to Zechiras Amalek. Kiyad Al Keska, Melchama Hashem Ba'Malek Midor Dor. Tosus writes in Brachos and Dav Gimlam and Aleph, the name of the Vachs of Itzri, that this is the meaning of Yehei Shmei Rabbah. Yehei Shmei, let the Shem Yud Kei Rabbah become full, become great. Let the Shem be a complete Shem. Bayomahu Yehashem Echad Ushmo Echad. That's what Tosus quotes the name of the Machzavitri. Tosus continues and disagrees with Machzavitri. He writes he doesn't think this is the meaning of Yehei Shmei Rabbah. But nonetheless, these are various allusions to the daily obligation of Zechiras Amalek. This seems to be the view of the Rambam. And as mentioned, the Rambam does not accord any special significance to the Kriya of Parsha Zachar. It's a Kriya Satorah like other Kriyos, but the mitzvah d'araisa of Zechira Samalek is not fulfilled by reading Parsha Zachar, but rather this is an ongoing daily obligation. This is the view of the Ramban. If you look in the Ramban, in the very end of Parshas Kisetze, you'll find the Ramban already raises the suffix. The Ramban writes that V'lo yadati. The Ramban says, I am unsure. What exactly does the Sifra mean when it says Shana Beficha? Does it mean that there is a mitzvah in HaTorah of Kriyas Parsha Zachar Bitzibur? That's the suffix of the Ramban. Is it, for example, as the Rambam writes, or no, is it necessary to have a kriya mitoch haksav? Shona beficha does not just simply mean that we articulate verbally, but rather that there is a mitzvah of kriya. In fact, if you look in the Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara in a slightly different context has the following drasha. You're not allowed to read the Megillah bal peh. The Megillah has to be read, of course, mitoch haksav. How do you know that that is true? The Gemara says the following. Well, when it comes to Amalek and Parshas Beshalach, there the Torah tells us, ksov zos zikaron basefer. The zikaron has to be basefer. And when it comes to the Kriya Samegillah, nizkarim venasim. Zikaron nizkarim. Just like regarding Amalek, ksov zos zikaron basefer, so too when it comes to the zikaron of the Megillah, one must read the Megillah mitoch haksav. It's on this basis that many Shonim maintain that apparently Zechira Samalek is ksov zos zikaron b'sefer, is a zikaron which must require a kriya mitoch haksav. This is a suffix in the Ramban, but this is explicitly the view of Tosas. The Tosas in Brachos and Daf Yud Gimel, the Tosas in Megillah and Daf Yud Zayin would base. This is the day in Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Pehei, that the Kriya of Parsha Zachar, that is a mitzvah min HaTorah. One of the difficulties, of course, is the following. If you assume this is true, that min HaTorah you require a Kriya mitoch haksav, so how often is this mitzvah fulfilled? How often do we do so? Once a year. Where do you see that the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek is an annual obligation? The Torah doesn't appropriate any specific time. So he pointed out the Rambam's view that perhaps that means one must do so each and every day. But where do you see that it's sufficient to do so once a year? This is a clear difficulty. Tosfos doesn't explain the frequency of the fulfillment of this mitzvah. The Maram Shik has a chibur on Taryag Mitzvos, and he suggests the following. He mentions this, the name of the Chassam Sofer as well, that the Gemara tells us in Brachos and Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, in a very different context, Ein hameis nishtakach min halev elach hashnem asar chodesh. Rachman letzlan, a person experiences a loss, and a person undergoes at the various stages of Avelus. After Red Yud Beis Chodesh, the anguish of the Avelus tends to diminish. Never forgotten, but tends to diminish. Rabbi Kveger points out that's the basis of the minhag of having a hakama samatseva at the time of Yud Beis Chodesh, because if the Gemara tells us already la'achar Yud Beis Chodesh nishtakach min halev, then it's necessary to have some concrete reminder, and therefore the minhag of a hakama samatseva la'achar Yud Beis Chodesh, as though and when the avelus is so fresh, no matzev is necessary. Already then, in order for that impression to be everlasting, enduring, then we have hakama samatseva. So, the Maram Shik and Chassam Sofer then write the following. If the Gemara tells us already, la'achar shnei masar chodesh, nishtakach min halev, a person tends to forget, and therefore the Torah tells us there's an obligation to remember, that means one must have a yearly reminder. That's the Chiddush of Chassam Sofer and Maram Shik. In fact, Maram Shik writes the following. What about this year? It's a leap year. And therefore, it's 13 months since the last time we laned Parsha Zachar. Maram Shik writes, in this instance, a person has to have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechira Samalek, not only when you lane before Purim, but also during the summer months when you lane Parshas Kisetze, because if you're just going to rely on the Kriya of Parshas Zachar, the window of time is too broad. But again, this is certainly a Chiddush, that there is a yearly obligation min HaTorah, midrabanan, in Yom Diyoma, the theme of Purim, but that this should be true min HaTorah for the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek is indeed a great Chiddush. So one possibility of the Rambam, the mitzvah simply is bepeh, And we don't fulfill this mitzvah through the Kriya of Parsha Zohar, that's not necessary. But some articulation is required. The Safek of the Rambam, the view of Tosfos, that the Kriya of Parsha Zohar is a mitzvah, min HaTorah. If you look at that Rambam, the very end of Parshas Kiseitse, the Ramban adds an additional word, and this is also implied in the Rosh as well. The Ramban says, V'lo yadati, I'm uncertain how you fulfill this mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, Sheteshana B'Ficha, whether indeed it is necessary to have a Kriyas Parsha Zachar, B'Tzibur. The Ramban adds the word B'Tzibur. That also is a striking Chiddush. Tosfos just simply writes that, K'sozol Zikaron B'Sefer, that it's necessary to have a Kriya which is Mitoch HaKsav. For example, when it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah, you can't read the Megillah Bel Peh. It's necessary to read from the Megillah itself. And certainly, one of the great elements of this mitzvah is presuming Issa that one should do so B'tzibur. But if it's 3 in the morning and someone will tell you they didn't yet read the Megillah, you'll tell them to do so individually. But yet there are Rishonim that clearly indicate that the mitzvah of Parsha Zachar, Zechiras HaMalek, is only fulfilled B'tzibur. And that is a Torah obligation. You also see this in the Rosh. The Rosh is found in Brachos, Perek Zayin, Simen Chaf, based on the Sugya Daf Mem Zayin, Lebeis, and Brachos. Right? The story the Gemara recalls of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, Bala Beis HaKnesses, V'lo Motza Be'Asari, he came to Shul, there was no minyan. It was necessary to have a minyan present, and therefore, Shichra Avdol Hashlim Al Asara. He freed his Evid Knani in order to be the last person for this minyan. The Gemara asks, how can you do that? Kol HaMeshachra Avdol Over Besei Shenemar La'olam Bem Tavodu. You can't just simply free an Evid Knani. It's forbidden in HaTorah. The Gemara says that no, he was doing so for the purpose of mitzvah. Violating an avera for the purpose of mitzvah, what is that called? The mitzvah babi avera? The Gemara says that no, mitzvah derabim shani. This is a mitzvah derabim and a great chiddush. In order to fulfill a mitzvah derabim, one is allowed to violate this iser daraisa of la'olam bahem ta'avodu. Tosfos is bothered by the following. What is this mitzvah derabim? Tfila b'tzibur? Is there a chiyuv of tfila b'tzibur min ha'Torah? The most you will have is a mitzvah derabanan. So is the Gemara indeed teaching us that a mitzvah derabanan derabim can take precedence over a mitzvah daraisa diyachid? Is that really true? One is allowed to violate an issa daraisa of la ola bem tavodu to accommodate a mitzvah derabanan derabim. Is that really true? Tosfos says, apparently you see, that is the case in the Gemara. At times, a mitzvah derabanan can outweigh a mitzvah daraisa. A very great chiddush. That's what Tosfos says. The Gemara is telling us. Tosfos writes, Mikan kasha lahalachos gadolos. What exactly is that statement? You know, the Gemara tells us in Moikat and Daf Yadal Mabeis, Rachmana Litzlan, what happens if a person is in a state of avelos during Yantif? So a person is faced with two contradictory obligations. One is simchas Yantif. The other is the personal chiyuv avelus. So they can't coexist, simcha and avelus. So which takes precedence over the other? The Gemara tells us the following, that asi simcha derabim, v'dachi avelus diyachid. The mitzvah derabim of simcha, that takes precedence over the personal obligations of avelus. And as you know, therefore the avelus does not fully begin until after yantif concludes. So that's what the Gemara tells us. Simcha takes precedence over avelus. But I'll ask you the following question. Simcha, avelus. Are these daraisa? Are these derabanan? This is a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam. When the Gemara tells us you have this contradiction, simcha and avelus, are these two mitzvahs daraisa? Are these two mitzvahs derabanan? The Rambam writes both are daraisa. The Rambam writes that Simchas Yantif, even Bizman Hazeh, is a mitzvah daraisa, even without a Beis HaMikdash. B'samachta b'chagecha is a mitzvah min HaTorah, even Bizman Hazeh. And the Rambam writes that Avelus at times also is daraisa. Not Shiva, but Avelus Yom Rishon, the Rambam writes, is daraisa. So the Gemara is telling us this person is faced with two mitzvahs daraisa, Simcha and Avelus. And Simcha takes precedence over Avelus. Because Simcha is a mitzvah derabim, Avelus is a mitzvah diyachid. Tosfos assumes that the opposite is true. Tosfos assumes that Avelus is only Rabbanan. Tosos also assumes, and my Kotan Daf Yadal Mabei is a great chiddush, that simcha bizman hazeh is also only drabanan. Simcha midaraisa means when you have a beis hamikdash, you're all the regel, you offer karbanos, vezavachta shlomam veachalta sham. Simcha bizman hazeh is only drabanan. So Tosos understands the Gemara that this person is faced with two mitzvos, drabanan. One of Simcha, one of Avelus, but they both agree, the Rambam and Tosos, that Simcha will take precedence over Avelus because Simcha is Rabim, Avelus is Yochid. So is there any difference between the Rambam and Tosos? They both agree Simcha overrides Avelus. The Rambam writes both are Daraisa, Tosos both are Darabanam, but they both agree, as the Gemara tells us, Simcha takes precedence over Avelus. But I'll ask you the following question. What happens if we're dealing with, let's say, the last day of Yontif, the Yontif Sheni Shel Galios, the second day of Shavuos, the last day of Pesach, the last day of Sukkos, what would you say in that case? No? In that instance, then you could have Avelus Daraisa, according to the Rambam, according to the Gaonim, but the mitzvah of Simcha is only Drabanan. The whole Yontif is only Drabanan, the last day of Yontif Sheni Shel Galios. Only Drabanan. So in that instance, you would have Avelus, which is Daraisa, juxtaposed against Simcha, which is only Drabanan. Would you still say that Simcha takes precedence over Avelus? So the Mechaber writes in Hilchos Avelus the following, that when can you argue that Simcha takes precedence over Avelus? That's when both are Daraisa. But if you're dealing with a case where Avelus is Daraisa and Simcha is only Drabanan, then Avelus will take precedence over Simcha, and that's what the Mechaber writes, that there is Avelus on the last day of Yontif because you have Avelus Daraisa and Simcha, which is only Drabanan. If you assume as Tosos, that's not true. Simcha is Drabanan, Avelus is Drabanan. Even on the last day of Yontif, you can still argue that the Simcha Drabanan will take precedence over the Avelus, which is Drabanan as well. That's one of the differences, quote in Shulchan Aruch. What would happen when it comes to Yontif Sheni Shel Galios, where it's only Drabanan? This is the Psak Halacha of the Halachos Gedolos. So Tosus, and that's Sugin Brachos, Naf Mem Zayin, where it quotes Rabbi Eliezer, Shich Rav Lashim Lasar writes, Mikan Kosh Halachos Gedolos. Because what did that Gemara tell us? That Rabbi Eliezer freed his Eved, violating an Issa Daraisa to accommodate Tefillah B'tzibur. And the Gemara says the basis of doing so was mitzvah derabim shani. So you see that a mitzvah derabim derabanan can take precedence over a mitzvah diyachid daraisa. So Tosu says, mikan kosh lachos gadolos. Even if you'll assume that Avelus is daraisa, and Simcha on the concluding day of Yontif is certainly only derabanan, but the mitzvah derabanan of Simchas Yontif takes precedence over Avelus daraisa. That's Tosus's chiddush from this story of Rabbi Eliezer Shich Ravdo Lahashlim Olasara. So if you look in the Rush, for our purposes, the Rush adds one line. The Rush in Brachos and Zayin Chof writes the following. And it is not reasonable to assume that the case of Rabbi Eliezer was the Kri of Parsha Zachar, where Be'inan Asara Daraisa, because the Gemara should have mentioned that fact. The Gemara will be terribly misleading if this only applies on Parsha Zachar, and the Gemara seems to instruct us that this applies universally. So the Rosh writes, don't tell me that this was Parsha Zachar, because if that was the case, the Gemara certainly would have included that critical information. But apparently you see, according to the Rosh, a very great chiddush, and that is that the Kriya of Parsha Zachar, Bitzibur, with a minyan, that's a Din Daraisa. Let's assume it was referring to Parsha Zachar. So then the Rosh would argue, now you need your minyan daraisa. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Eliezer was meshacher his eved. But isn't that a great chiddush? That kriyas Parsha Zachar betzibur is a mitzvah daraisa. All we saw in Tosas is that you're not yotzi balpeh, you need a kri mitoch haksav. Just like kriyas ha-megillah has to mitoch haksav. But here, the Rosh maintains, and that was the inference in the Ramban as well, that the Kriya B'tzibur is part of the mitzvah daraisa of Zechiras Amalek. That's a great chiddush. That we'll have to discuss. Why should that be so? Why is there a need for a tzibur midaraisa in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek? But that is the view of the Rosh. just in this one line that the Rosh tells us that it's not mistaber to assume that this is referring to Parsha Zoch, where Be'inan Asara Daraisa. So therefore the extreme positions, the Rambam where the mitzvah is Lizkar Tamid, and one can fulfill it individually just as a Zechira Bepeh, the other extreme, the Rosh, that requires a Kri Mitoch HaKsav and a Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. Perhaps this Rosh can be understood based on the following question. We know that there is a mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. We know also there is an obligation of Mechias Amalek. What is the link between these two mitzvahs? Should one argue that they're absolutely independent? Or perhaps one argue that no, of course they're inherently linked. If you look in the Ramban, for example, in the very end of Parshas Kiseitse, the Ramban tells us that the mitzvah of Zechira is an obligation to be mindful of our imperative of Timche Zechra Malek. Zechira is not a completely independent mitzvah at all, but rather Zechira is a vehicle, a reminder, Ad Shenimcha Zara Shalom Alek. That's what the Ramban writes. If you look in the Rambam writes in the very same halacha, Perakei halacha b'hilchos malachim, the obligations of Zechir, the obligations of Mechir, you get the distinct impression from the Rambam as well, that the mitzvah of Zechir is to be mindful of the mitzvah, our obligation of Mechias Amalek. If you look, for example, in many Rishonim, if you look in Halachas Gedolos, you look in the Yireim, and there's Sefer HaMitzvahs, they count Mechias Amalek as a mitzvah. Timche Zechir Amalek. They don't count Zachar. Why is it that they omit Zachar? Sometimes it's hard to bring rayas from omission, but one possibility is the following, that Zachar is not meant as an independent mitzvah at all. Zachar is simply the reminder, the awareness of our obligation of Timche Zechir Amalek. If that is true, then you understand very well why it is that Zechira you will not necessarily count, even though Timche Zechir Amalek will be counted among Taryag mitzvahs. So if you look in Sefer Achinuch, in Tafresh Gimel, the Sefer Achinuch is explicit that there's a clear link between Zechiras Amalek and Mechias Amalek. And the Sefer Achinuch writes two great chidushim. Who is obligated in the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek? Who is obligated in Mechias Amalek? Mechias Amalek means waging battle against Amalek. Timche es Zechir Amalek. The Sefer Achinuch refers to you to the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Beis Amud Beis that Ein Darko Shel Isha Lasos Mochama. Obligations of Mochama, they are incumbent upon men. Women are not included in Mitzvos HaMochama, and therefore women are exempt from Mechias Amalek. That's what the Sefer Achinuch writes in the next mitzvah in Tafresh Dalet. In Tafresh Gimel, the Chinuch writes a further Chiddush, and therefore women are also exempt from the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. Only those who are obligated in Mechias Amalek are obligated in Zechiras Amalek, and therefore women are exempt from both. The Menchas Chinuch raises the following questions. Is that really true? Women are exempt from Mechias Amalek. Doesn't the Mishnah tell us in Sota, when it comes to Mechames Mitzvah, HaKol Yotzim, Afilu Kalam Echupasa, everyone must go out to battle. So therefore, even women are obligated. Well, the Radvaz writes in Hilchos Malachim, HaKo Yotzim does not mean everyone bears armaments and goes in the front line and fights. The men go out to battle and the women are obligated to provide certain support services. It doesn't mean that women actively engage in this type of melchama. And therefore, Ein Darko Shel Isha Lasos Melchama, women are exempt from Mechiyah. But then the Menachas Chinuch writes, even if you assume that women are exempt from Mechias Amalek, because it's so clear that they are exempt from Zechiras Amalek. After all, are these two mitzvahs necessarily linked? But the Sefer Achinuch is explicit. The purpose of Zechira is in order to serve as a reminder of our mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. Whoever is obligated in Mechia is obligated in Zechira as well. In fact, if you look in the Binyan Siyan in Simen Ches was asked the following, based on that Gemara we just mentioned. Rabbi Elazar Shichar Avdo Lahashlimo La'asara. He had an Eved Kanani with him. He freed his Eved in order to allow him to be counted as the minion. The Rosh writes, and it's not mistaber to assume that it was referring to Parsha Zachar, because had it been referring to Parsha Zachar, that information should have been told to us. No, the Gemara should have omitted that fact. But the one who asked the kasha to the Binyan Siyan writes, and if it was referring to Parsha Zachar, what do you see? That the Eved is exempt. After all, Rabbi Eliezer had to free his Eved in order to participate in Parshas Achar. You see that as is an Eved Kanani is exempt. We know when it comes to mitzvos, lala misha gzereshava, that we equate an Eved Kanani isha. They're obligated in the same mitzvos, they're exempt from the same mitzvos. So don't you see, as the Sefer HaChinuch writes, that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, and that's why it would have been necessary to mishachar the Eved in order to participate in Zechiras Amalek. An interesting chiddush, that was the maksh in the Binyan Sin and Simen Ches. Binyan Sin answers not necessarily true. It may very well be that the Ever or the Isha is obligated in the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, but if you assume, as the Rush maintains, that you require a tzibur, one could still argue they were obligated, but v'nigdashti b'sof b'nei Yisrael, they can't be counted as the tzibur. That's a fascinating issue. If, for example, you have a concept of tzibur, and everyone is obligated in that mitzvah, does that mean that the tzibur can be comprised of, right, an Eved or an Isha? Let's assume, for example, when it comes to the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, v'nigdashti b'sof b'nei Yisrael, there's the concept of Kiddush Hashem b'rabim, also a notion of tzibur. Who comprises that tzibur? Is that the tzibur of Davar Shebekdusha? Or one would argue that an Eved and Isha can be included as well. No, halacha l'maaseh, this comes up regarding Kriyas HaMegillah. Here, we assume the halacha, as the Shulchan Aruch writes, that the bracha of Harapis Rivenu can only be recited Bitsibur. So what happens if you have a large group of women who are gathering for one of the kriyos? Do you recite the bracha of Haravis Rivenu, or do you argue, no, as the Binyan Sion writes? There are two issues. One is the chiyuv of the mitzvah. The second is the unit of tzibur, and that's limited to v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, and therefore it applies to zachar mi Yisrael, not an isha, not an Eved Kanani as well. But that's the give and take of the Maksha and the Binyan Sion in that particular instance. But again, this is the view of Sefer HaChinuch, that women are exempt from Zechiras Amalek, based on this link of Zechir and Mechiyah. This is also relevant halach lamais in the following sense. Magen Avram writes, Zechirish, in Tafresh Pehei, let's assume a person did not hear the Kriya Parsha Zachar. So the Magen Avram writes, don't worry, you'll go to Shul Purim morning, and they're going to read about Amalek. They're not going to read Parshas Kiseitzi, they're going to read Parshas B'Shalach, and Parshas B'Shalach B'Yav Amalek, with that, you can be outside. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, and Sivkot and Tezayin, not necessarily, according to the view of the Ramban, and the Shittas that we aligned as well, that the purpose of Zechiras Amalek is to be mindful of our mitzvah of Timche Ezechar Amalek, maybe you need Parshas Kiseitze. That's where we underscore our mitzvah of Timche Ezechar Amalek. You know, if you look in Parshas B'Shalach, you could get a very different impression. It's true, Mechia Samalek is mentioned Parsash B'Shalach, but in a very different sense. Ki Macho Emche. Not as a chiyuv incumbent upon Knesset Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu will do so. You want to emphasize our obligation of Mechia Samalek. Perhaps that requires Parshas Kiseitze, not just simply reading the theme of Vayav Amalek in Parshas B'Shalach, the machlokas between the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avram. But this, apparently, I would suggest, is the basis of the Sheet of the Rush, the Sheet of the Ramban, that Tzibur is necessary for Zechiras Amalek. If you assume the purpose of Zechira is to be mindful of our obligation of Mechias Amalek, Mechias Amalek, is that the Chovas Yachid, or is that a mitzvah incumbent upon the Tzibur? It seems clear from the Rambam that we'll soon discuss, this is what the Ramban writes in Parshas Kiseitze, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek is not a Chovas Yachid. That is a mitzvah hamuteles al hatzibur. That is a tzibur-oriented mitzvah. As the Rambam tells us, you establish a malchus, and then you wage war against Amalek, you build a Beis HaMikdash. That is a Chovas HaTzibur. If the purpose of Zechira is to be mindful of Mechias Amalek, and Mechias Amalek is a mitzvah hamuteles al hatzibur, then one could argue, as the Rush does, that Zechiras Amalek is not something that a person fulfills individually, but rather tzibur is necessary on a level of daraisa as well. Right? These are several indicators of this link between the obligation of Zechiras Amalek and the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. If you look in those Rambans, the Rambam with which we began, Hilchos Malachim Perakei Halacha Hei, that's where the Rambam discusses the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek and the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek. You go back one halacha, Perakei Halacha Dalid, that's where the Rambam discusses what seems to be a similar mitzvah. And that is an obligation of Hachrim Tachrimim, Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama. The Torah tells us you're going to enter Eretz Yisrael, you're going to see that Eretz Yisrael is occupied by the Shiva Amimim. In such a case, you're obligated Hachrim Tachrimim, Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama. And then the Rambam tells us, right, the mitzvah of Zechira and Mechiyas Amalek. Are there any differences between these two mitzvahs? The mitzvah of Hachrim Tachrimim, Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama, when it comes to the Shiva Amimim, and the obligation of Zechira and Mechiyas Amalek. So if you look carefully in the Rambam, in those two halachas that are back to back, you'll notice two differences in the way the Rambam presents each of these halachas. Halacha number one is the following. Perakei Halacha Dal, the Rambam tells us that there's a mitzvah saseyav, Hachrim Tachrimim. There's nisr lo saseyav, lo sechaya kol neshama. And the Rambam writes the following. V'chol shaboli yado echad mehem. And whenever you individually confront a member of the Shivamim, v'lo harago, and you don't kill that person, the Rambam writes, you're violating these mitzvos. A mitzvah of Hachrim Tachrimim, a mitzvah of Lo Sechaya, Kol Neshama. That's what the Rambam writes in Perakei Halacha Dalet, v'chol shaboli yado. Then the Rambam continues and writes the following. What about Bizman Hazeh? Does this apply Bizman Hazeh? You're introduced to your new colleague at work. Does this apply? Kol shaboli yado, v'lo harago. So the Rambam writes that no, kvar avdu v'avad zichram. The Rambam writes that no, just realize that these nations have been dispersed. They're completely lost. No? The Gemara tells us the Ravaz says, the bas sancheriv v'bilbales kolomos kulom, the time of sancheriv. So therefore, people were uprooted from one country, transplanted to another country. Good, this person has lived in Mitzrayim for generations of his family, but these are not necessarily the Mitzrim of old. This is what the Rambam also writes in Nochus Yisribiya. The Torah tells us that when it comes to a Mitzri, one is not allowed to marry Mitzri, Lidor Shlishi Avo. When it comes to Ammon, Moab, and so on, the Rambam writes that Bosan Chayriv, a person comes from Mitzrayim, so he's a Mitzri of old, not necessarily. So the Rambam writes two great chidushim, at chumra kula, so to speak. The chumra is when it comes to shivamim, v'chol shabal yando. However, the kula, so to speak, of kvar avdu v'avad zichram. Then you come to the very next halacha regarding Amalek. The Rambam does not write either of these points. The Rambam writes there's a mitzvah of Zechira Samalek, a mitzvah of Mechiyah Samalek. You would have expected Rambam saying, therefore, Kol Shabali Yada, you meet up with an Amalek, you're obligated to destroy that individual. The Rambam doesn't say that. And the Rambam does not add the line, Vakar of the Vavad Zichram. Those two differences. You get the impression with the Rambam, two fundamental distinctions between Shiva Am as opposed to the case of Amalek. And if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, you will find two additional differences as well. The Sefer HaChinuch I had mentioned earlier in Tav Reish Daled, that's the Sefer HaChinuch of Mechiyas Amalek in Tav Chav Hey, that is the Sefer HaChinuch regarding Shiva Amamim. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes the following. See, it's interesting that the Sefer HaChinuch does disagree with the Rambam in the following sense. That line of the Rambam, V'chol Shabal Yado Echad Mehem, the Sefer HaChinuch writes in both. The Sefer HaChinuch writes in Tav Chaf Hei dealing with Shivamim, that's like the Rambam. The Sefer HaChinuch includes this in Tav Reish Daled when it comes to Mechiyas Amalek, V'chol Shabal Yado Echad Mehem. So whereas the Rambam only writes it in Perakei Halacha Daled Shivamim, the Sefer HaChinuch includes it regarding Amalek as well. But the Sefer HaChinuch does have two fundamental differences. We discussed who is obligated in Mechiyas Amalek. Because the Sefer HaChinuch is explicit. Mechiyas Amalek only applies to men, not to women. Ein darko shishalash asmachama. Good? You look in Hachrim Tachrimim, Tav Chaf Hei. Yeah, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, who's obligated in Hachrim Tachrim, the Sechai HaKom HaShana, the Rambam writes, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, that Echad Anashim v'Echad Nashim. Men and women are obligated. When it came to Mechiyas Amalek, only men. When it comes to the Sechai HaKom HaShama, Hachrim Tachrimim, there the Sefer HaChinuch writes that everyone is obligated, men and women alike. Very important difference. The Sefer HaChinuch has another difference. This difference was made famous by the Minchas Chinuch. Now the Sefer HaChinuch writes, that Hachrim Tachrimim. B'chol Shabali Yado Echad Mehem. And if a person confronts a member of the Shema Amin, right, he's obligated to fulfill this mitzvah. Right? However, the Chinuch adds the following caveat: Uvad Shelo Yistakin B'davar. As long as the person is not putting himself at risk, as long as you don't put yourself in sakana. The Rambam writes, there's a mitzvah of hachrim tachrim, a mitzvah of sachay konashama. A person is obligated to implement, to fulfill this mitzvah, as long as you don't put yourself at risk. That's what the Rambam writes. The Sefer HaChinuch writes. It's interesting, when it comes to Amalek, in Tafereish Dalet, there, the Sefer HaChinuch writes the same, v'chol shabli elch mehem, there, the Sefer HaChinuch does not add, ubavash shli yistakim b'dover, as long as you're not putting yourself at risk. See, the reason I emphasize this is the following. As I mentioned, the Minchas Chinuch pointed out the difficulty. What does it mean? There's a chiyuv of hachrim tachrimim. There's a halach of lo sachaya kol neshama. As long as you don't put yourself at risk. The Minchas Chinuch writes, it sounds very strange. There's a mitzvah of melchama, as long as it's risk-free. Can that be? Can that be? No? There's a ptur of pikuach nefesh when it comes to melchama. When it comes to mitzvos, where one does not normally anticipate that this should be a threatening situation, one could discuss an unfortunate reality if a mitzvah conflicts with v'chai bahem. But when it comes to melchama, melchama by its very nature, right, means that there will be casualties, Rahman al-Islam. A person is putting themselves at risk. And if the Torah tells us you have to wage war, how can you argue, ubelvan shal yistakim b'davar? That's the hara of the Minchas Chinuch. So in light of that hara, then it is striking why sometimes the Chinuch writes that, there's a ptur of pikuach nefesh, and sometimes that's not true. What exactly is the difference between these cases? Apparently you see a fundamental difference between chachrim tachrimim, l'sachaya kol neshama, as opposed to mechiyah samalek, in the following sense. Let's start with a somewhat obvious observation. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, who is obligated in Amalek? Only men, because ain darko shishal asos mochama. All dinin mochama, women are exempt from. That's not the only place the Sefer HaChinuch mentions this. Whenever you find a mitzvah of mochama, whether it's the mitzvah of mochemes rishus, in order how it is that we wage a mochemes rishus, or the halach of those sarot tzvipneim, that a person is not allowed to be excessively fearful when you go to battle. The Sefer HaChinuch always tells us, dine mochama do not apply to women, they only apply to men. But then when you come hachrim tachrim l'sachaya koneshama, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, women are obligated. So apparently, what do you see from that? That's the starting point. No? That apparently, hachrim tachrimim l'sachaya koneshama is not to be understood as dine mochama. When it comes to Amalek, there the Torah tells us that we lay in Purim morning, Milchama Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. That is within the Misgeres, within the framework of Hilchos Milchama. And that's what the Chinuch writes, that Ein Darko Shal Ish Alasos Milchama. When it comes to Hachrim Tachrimim, Lo Sachaya Kol Neshama, there the Sefer HaChinuch is assuming that this is not Dinei Milchama, this is a chovas yachid, a mitzvah incumbent upon each individual to the extent that he is able, hachrim tachrimim, not within the miskeres, within the broader framework of milchama. And therefore, as a mitzvah, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, it applies to everyone. When it comes to Amalek, milchama Hashem b'Amalek midor dor, that is limited to men and not to women. In fact, if you take the step back and look at that Rambam again, then the Rambam is very clear as well. The Rambam said that Hachrim Tachrimim was a chobas yachin, v'chol sheba liyado achimim, v'lo harogo. The Rambam did not write that when it comes to Amalek. Why is that true? Chol sheba liyado means that I personally am obligated. The Rambam understood that Amalek, that's milchama Hashem b'Amalek midor dor, that's midine milchama. That's a mitzvah which is muteles al hatzibur dine milchama. And therefore, the Rambam does not write, v'chol shabali yado echad mehem. When it comes to hachrim tachin l'sachaya kol neshama, that the Rambam understood as a chovas haprat, and in such a case, then the Rambam writes, even individually, v'chol shabali yado. In fact, even that difficulty of the Minchas Chinuch, when it comes to dini melchama, where do you see, so to speak, that there's an exclusion of pikuach nefesh? If that's true, very meduyak then in the Sefer HaChinuch. When it comes to Amalek, which is Dine Milchama, there, The Chinuch does not mention any such exclusion at all. When it comes to Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama from the perspective of the Yachid, then it's true. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, Ubavachli is talking to Dover. In that case, there is a Ptur of Pikuach Nefesh. All these point in the same direction. And that is that Amalek is to be viewed Dinei Milchama, even according to the Chinuch, that there is an element of a Chovas Yachid of Amalek, but still it's within the framework of Milchama Shem Bamalek, Midor Dor. That could explain as well, that Pasuk has two chidushim. One is Milchama Hashem Bamalek. Milchama means that it's Dinei Milchama. What does Dor Dor mean? That is something which is everlasting. Now, here the Rambam does not write Kfar Avdu V'Avad Zichram when it comes to Amalek. When it comes to Shiva Amamim, here it's very mistaber to argue as follows. Regarding Shiva Amamim, is it similar to the case of Amalek? Here the Torah tells us, Timche Zecher Amalek. It means that we're obligated to erase any remembrance of Amalek. Rashi quotes the Mechilta, that means even a behema that Amalek owned, because someone may say, that animal once belonged to Amalek. Even that is included in Timche's Zecher Amalek. Is that true when it comes to the Shiv Amamim? Here one could suggest the following Chiddush. Rav Weiss once mentioned that this halach of Losachai Kol Hashem HaChim Tachrimim, two chidushim. Number one, it only applies when the Shiv Amamim are acting as a unified nation. There's no halacha that one destroys, as when it comes to Amalek, any residual remembrance of Shiv Amamim. It means you're going to enter Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to find that there are nations that are expressing their independent nationalism. In such a case, then, one is obligated. Hachrim tachrimim, lo sechaya kol neshama. Let's assume, for example, that's no longer the case, that they no longer have a national identity, or maybe a chiddush further. Does this apply even outside of Eretz Yisrael? When it comes to Amalek, that's clear. Zecher Amalek means even a behemoth Amalek. You'll meet up with an Amaleki outside of Eretz Yisrael entirely. Right? There still is an obligation of Timche, Zecher Amalek. However, when it comes to Shiv Amim, the Torah says, you'll enter Eretz Yisrael, you'll see that our land is being occupied by foreign nations. One is obligated, Hachrim Tachrim, L'Sachaya Kol Neshama. And let's assume, for example, these individuals transplant themselves to a far-off country. Are we still obligated in Hachrim Tachrimim? Maybe it's only A, when they are functioning as a national entity, and a national entity within Eretz Yisrael. If that's true, you understand what the Rambam writes. Shivam bizman azeh kfar avdu v'avad zichram. They're certainly not functioning in that capacity at all. But that's very different from this pasuk regarding Amalek, where the Torah tells us that milchama shem b'amalek midor dor, that means that there is an ongoing obligation that we have in reference to Amalek. So these are just a few differences between Shiva Amamin as opposed to Amalek, and the broader question of the relationship between Zechiras Amalek and Mechias Amalek as well. Let me leave you with one short Dvar Torah regarding one of the mitzvahs Hayom of Purim as well. One of the mitzvahs that we fulfill, as you know, is the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. And there are two possible alternate reasons that are given for the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. The most common explanation simply is what the Chumash Hadeshin writes in Siman Kuf Yud Aleph, that there's a mitzvah of Sudas Purim. And the purpose of Mishloach Manos is to provide someone with that which is necessary for their Sudas Purim. It's very meduyik in the Rambam as well. The Rambam in Perek Beis, Halachas Megillah, tells us the following, Ketzar Chova Sudazu. What is the mitzvah of Sudas Purim? And under that heading, the Rambam tells you the obligation of Mishloach Manos, to provide for one's Sudas Purim. This is what we generally assume lahalacha, this view of Chumash Hadeshin. There is a sefer on themes of Purim and on the Megillah, which is called the Manos Halevi. It was written by Rav Shlomo Alkabatz, the Mechaber of the Chadodi. And there he writes that the purpose of Mishloach Manos is simply laharbos reyus, in order to be a manifestation of friendship. We were accused in the Megillah as being amechad, mufuzer, mufarad, ben ha'amim, and therefore we show the unity, the achdus, the reyus of Knesset Yisrael by giving matanos. So perhaps two different reasons for this obligation of Mishloach Manos. The Gemara tells us in Megillah Dav Zayin, right, a fascinating story. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya gave, right, matanos to Rabbi Hoshea. And shadalahu amta de eglatilsa, he sent him, amta means a yerech, right, a thigh of an egel, together with garbeyayin, together with a kli, right, of wine. He gave him basar v'yayin. The Gon writes, for example, that's ideal that one should give for Shalach Manos. Basar v'yayin, to contribute to one's Sudas Purim. So he gave basar v'yayin. The Girsa of the Yerushalmi, this is the Girsa found Rabbi Nechananel in the Gon Dav Zayin, is Rab Oshia turned to Rabbi Nasi and said that with that, you did not fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. After all, because after all, only monachas. I was only given a single mana. And Mishloach Manos requires two different manos. The Gemara says, no, so therefore Rabbi Nasi went back and he gave him a more hefty matana. He gave him an entire egel, not just simply, right, a piece of egel, but an entire egel, and gimel garba yayin, much more yayin, and with that the mitzvah was fulfilled. That's the story according to the Yerushalmi, the story according to Rabbeinu Chananel. Now, what exactly was the problem? Now, Rabbi Menasiya showed Rabbi Hoshea, he gave him Amteg Latilsa, gave him Yayin, and that was insufficient. What's wrong? So Rabbi Nachmana writes, because he only gave manachas. And Shalach Manos requires Shtei Manos. So Tzipes HaFrank, Mikrei Kodesh, and Simon Lamerches, right, has a beautiful piece. It says, Tlosa Hilchasa Bepirush Rabbi Nachmana. According to this one line of Rabbi Nachmana, you see three very important chedushim regarding Shalach Manos. Poshav Shah, he writes, Rabbi Nechananel, you have to take a look, is the following, that he gave him Basar V'yayin. Rabbi Nechananel is of the opinion that mana must be mine ochel, a food type. It cannot be a mashke. You cannot use a beverage in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. That's the view of Rabbi Nechananel. That's Chiddush 1. Chiddush 2 is the following. Okay, so Rabbi Hoshea turned to Rabbi Nasiya and said, you only give me one mana. So then what did he do? So he gave him more, right, a basar, right? A larger piece of basar, a different cut of basar he gave him. Now, before it was amta, was the yerech, now he gave him a different cut of meat. And with that, in fact, you're yotzei. So Rabbi Yisrael Frank says, you see the following chiddush then. He gave him one and one. Are you yotzei? Mishloach Manos said, one and one? Or do the two matanos have to be given? Apparently, you see the second chiddush according to Rabbeinu Chananel, that the two matanos do not have to be given simultaneously, but one can be given, and then another can be given, and with that, you are yotzei. Chiddush number two. Chiddush number three, what were the two manos according to Rabbeinu Chananel? It was basar and basar, different cuts of meat. Ritzipei Safran Christ, that also is considered to be a chiddush. The different cuts of meat will constitute two different minim for the mitzvah of Shalach Manos. So Tzipei Safrank writes, apparently you see three great chidushim according to Rabbeinu Chananel, that beverages cannot be used, that they need not be given simultaneously one after another, and two different cuts can constitute two different minim. Why do I mention these are all three great chidushim? Because all three of these haras are against the poskim. The first issue, mashkin, we assume, of course one can give mashke. If you look in Tafresh Tzadi A, the Magen Avraham writes, he quotes the Chuma Sadeshen, the Taz writes, of course a beverage can be used for the purpose of Shalach Manos. If you look in the Chidah, for example, the Chidah writes, but of course the two matanos have to be given b'vas achas. You can't give one in one, you must give two. And if you look in the Eish Lavram, you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, Tafresh Tzadi A, two different cuts, right? That doesn't help. No, that's only one mean. That's all called basar. You need two different meaning. So this is what Ritzipei Safrank points out, that these three great chidush Rabbeinu Chananel, the one storyline, now that one line of Rabbeinu Chananel, manachas vihi hayerech, right, tells you three chidushim against, we normally assume, is the consensus haposkim. So if you look in that piece, Ritzipei Safrank writes, if you look in the Ritva writes something slightly different. In order to give Shalach Manos, the Ritva writes, you have to give a matana chashuva. You have to give a prominent gift. You can't give someone a measly portion. You have to give him a matana chashuva. Ritva writes the following: Rabbi Nasiha was known as an exceedingly wealthy individual, and here he gave Rav Oshia a thigh, right? Amta de Eglatilsa. The Ritva learns the Gemara as follows: you know what was wrong? You know why it was only mana achas? It wasn't the yayin. The yayin was fine. The bottle of wine was matana chashuva. But that amta de eglatilsa, that was not a davar chashuv. And therefore, Rabbi Nasi was not yotzei. That's what the Ritva writes. So then it was necessary for Rabbi Nasi to make a further attempt to give him the shalach manos, and by doing so, he was yotzei. If that was the problem, so now you have the opposite diyukim of the Rabbeinu Hananel. Now, the problem was not the mashke. The problem was the ochel. It wasn't the matana chashuva. But Rabbeinu Hananel writes, no, manachas there was. What manachas? The Ritva assumes the mashke was good. The ochel was the problem because it was considered to be a small piece of meat. So I'll ask you then the following. So then, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, that wanted to give a further attempt to properly fulfill the mitzvah, so he gave him now a piece of meat that certainly was matana chashuva, but he also gave him the gimel garba yayin. Why was it necessary to give the wine again? Because the two matanos must be given bevas achas. And even though the girsa of the Ritva was he gave him an entire egel, and an entire egel no doubt was made up of many different cuts of beef, no? Nonetheless, it only counts as a single mana because it is all considered to be mine basar. That issue at the stake, no? There was something wrong, according to Rabbi Hanan and the Ritva, with that shalach manas that Rabbi Nasiya gave. That was the question. Was the problem the basar? Was the problem the yayin? And here at C.P.A. Safrank writes, you'll have opposite conclusions, la halacha, in these three issues in terms of how it is that one fulfills the mitzvah of mishloach manas. So C.P.A. Safrank assumes that we normally, in fact, allow mashkin certainly to be counted as one of the minim. We are makbid that the nesina be indeed basachas, and they be two distinct minim, not just simply different types of basar. Pashav shat, like the explanation of the Ritva, against what perhaps, right, is the way Tzvi Safrank interprets, right, the shita of Rabbi Yochanana. Meretz Hashem, next week we'll discuss Kriyas HaMegil and Yanei Pah.
With regard to the Siva on Friday.
Right.